Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello and welcome to the Tank Slappers podcast, Autosport and the Motorsport Network's podcast for all things two-wheeled. I am your host, Lewis Duncan, and joining me, as ever, is my good podcasting buddy, Oriol Puigdemont. Yuri, how's things this week? Are we looking forward to the next 3 weeks of racing?
Yeah. I think I'm excited about what's coming, despite we're not going to see the champion racing, at least not in Brno. But yeah, pretty excited to see which impact his absence has on the field.
I'm glad you mentioned Marc Marquez, because that's where we're going to start today, because of course he has had to have a second operation on his broken right arm. He'd bent the plate, or damaged the plate in his arm through stress, through, we can only assume, through his efforts to get fit for the Andalusian Grand Prix. And now he's out for Brno, and might be out for a couple more races. So by all intents and purposes, the championship is now over for Mark. There is no way back from this one.
Yeah, I think we all know Mark is an alien, but even the aliens have a limit. So, and especially in this kind of championship with so high competition, with so high level there, I think it's going to be, I mean, even if Mark wins all the races since when he's back to the end, I think the problem will be that the others won't fail that much. So, yeah, I think that it's better for him to keep recovering and try to come back as fit as, I mean, yeah, 100%. So I would say that, yes, the championship is over for him. That's what make this year a bit different than the others.
You know, this year has already been strange, and then to have Mark injured and, you know, not even a title threat this year, it's, you know, it's just such a strange scenario. It's kind of, it's a little bit like 2015, but 2015 he was at least in the hunt at the start of the season. But it's just, it's such a strange feeling, and now we kind of, we're into the unknown, because we've got Fabio leading the championship, Fabio Quartararo, Mavericks up there. Opens the doors for guys like Jack Miller, for Dovizioso in particular. Dovizioso, you'd have to say, is the big winner from this.
Yeah, 100%. I think I've written a story today about the three guys that to me are the title. They have to be the title contenders for this year, the more clear title contenders for this year. And of course, they are first, second, and third in the standings at the moment. But it's just a coincidence to me. I mean, because Fabio, of course, is a big candidate. Then we have Maverick, and then we have Dobby. All of them, they are completely different profiles. And they have their strengths and their weaknesses. So I would say that, for example, Fabio has nothing to lose, no pressure on him. But it can change, because at some point he will have to deal with the situation that he will be the only one able to lose the championship, you know, because he's won two races in a row. He has, 10 points advantage with Maverick, and I think it's 24 with Dobby. But then if he keeps doing that like this, he will have to think about it, and he will have to think about the championship. Maverick is not a story. I think it's the opposite to Fabio in terms of pressure. He's feeling the pressure. You can see on his body language. He's under pressure. He's, I would say, angry about the situation. It would be very difficult for him to explain than a satellite Yamaha rider has won the title and that he's in a factory bike. Okay, Fabio is in a factory bike as well, but anyway, he's not in the factory team. So it would be very difficult for Maverick to justify this thing. And Dobby, I think that he's doing what Dobby does, step by step, being there. I mean, don't forget that after the first two races in Jerez, which is one of the worst tracks for the Ducati, he was able to be in the podium, so which never happened before with him. So, yeah, I mean, they are three different profiles, but they are playing their cards and they have to be smart and trying to, first of all, not make mistakes. Otherwise, the first one to make mistake will probably regret that.
Picking up what you said there about Dovizioso, you have to think that, you know, Bruno, Red Bull Ring, three or two great circuits for Ducati. You know, you look at the top two guys at Red Bull Ring over the past few years, it's been Mark and it's been Dovi, and with Mark likely not to be at those Red Bull Ring races, it is a big opportunity for Dovizioso, and I feel that he needs to win these races or be on the podium, because this is now probably the best area of the championship for him on the calendar, as it were.
Yeah, I think that 100%. I think Dovi and Ducati need to get as much points as possible in those three races. But at the same time, I don't see that the championship will be decided after that. I mean, Ducati would have to be very bad to don't be a contender anymore. So, yeah, I understand the point, and I think that 100% with you about that. But I think it's going to be, despite this is a short calendar championship, I think it's going to be very, very, very open to the different possibilities. And again, I think it will be probably all related to the mistakes.
We have seen that already. We've seen one mistake for one rider has completely blown open the championship, you know, well, with what happened to Mark. And
I would
you
say,
have to think.
Yeah, but I would say with Mark, two mistakes. I mean, the first one on crashing, and the second one on trying to speed up the recovery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll get onto that in a minute, because it's a debate that's raged on. If you've been paying attention to social media, you'd have seen a lot of journalists and riders talking about it. But I just wanted to talk about Quartararo quickly. What you said earlier about him, you know, he might start to feel pressure now that he becomes the point man, essentially. And you have to think, this coming round at Bruno could well be the first time that we see how Quartararo manages under some real pressure, because we know how much the Yamaha is struggling with power. Bruno's a circuit that could affect, you know, trouble them a bit. So this could very well be his first true test of this season.
I would say more for Yamaha than for Quartararo, because I see him very focused, very I would say settled, or very concentrated, very humble at the same time, and very realistic. He did the best by winning both Jerez races, and now he can be a bit more, let's say, relaxed. If he doesn't fight for the win in Brno, it's okay, because it is theoretically is not the best track for Yamaha. So if he is able to get into the podium, that's a bonus. So even his confidence will be more stronger. So I would say that is more a test for Yamaha than for Fabio, to me.
Yeah, well, that's a fair point, because if we think back to the Red Bull Ring last year, he was third on arguably the worst circuit for Yamaha. So, and he was on a bike that was slightly underpowered compared to the factory Yamaha. So he at least has that sort of knowledge to rest on, that he can drag out good results. Going back to Maverick, he needs a win soon. He's been, I wouldn't say humiliated by Quartararo, but it's not been. Maverick arguably was
I would
like
say,
stronger.
Yeah, I would say that he's been grounded by Quartararo.
Yeah, I think that's a very, very good way of putting it, because arguably Van Merck was the quickest and the second Jerez race throughout that weekend, and he should have done what Fabio did, and then, you know, it didn't work in the race. So he really needs a win, because he came into this season, we all kind of said, yeah, well, Fabio will be strong, but Maverick looks like, you know, he looks like the big threat to Mark. And he's not, he's still struggling with something, you know, early races wasn't great. And he's just...
About Maverick, I think it's all in his head. It's a matter of getting nervous, anxiety. I don't know how to say it, but yeah. I mean, don't forget that this guy signed for Yamaha 2017, and he supposed to be the, let's say, anti-Mark. Yamaha signed him as the anti-Mark, and then he downplayed the Valentino Rossi factor or influence on the team, and he's been struggling and trying to deal with that until now that Valentino is leaving. So now he needs to establish himself, and if he's been beaten on, he's beaten by Fabio, will be very difficult for him to establish himself as a, let's say, leader. So I think it's all in his head. He needs to be calm. It's very easy to me. I mean, for me to say that, because I'm not on the bike. But I mean, as I see the picture, I would say that he needs to try to stay away from all this mental thing and just being focused on ride the bike. On the bike, on practice, he's probably the fastest guy on track. He just needs to make it happen on the race. We've seen a lot of anxiety from him in the last race. I remember he struggled a lot trying to overtake Valentino, which is not normal. And if Valentino doesn't go wide, he would probably finish third. So, and he's much faster than Valentino. Much faster than Valentino. I mean, he's there all the time, on the top of the standings all the time. Valentino made the last step in the last very first moment, but he's much faster than Valentino.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, you know, it is worth pointing out that Maverick over the winter, over last year, did work a lot on his sort of his surroundings within the team and on his mental preparations. And he did, towards the end of last year, look a lot stronger. And, you know, we both spoke to him start of this year during testing, and he was much more happy, much more relaxed. And yeah, but now he's kind of gotten into the racing, and I wonder as well if the delays not helped him, because he was obviously felt he was up for it in Qatar. And I think, you know, those first races, had it been a normal championship, it would have been a different situation for Maverick. But now things delayed, it's a different championship, there's more pressure. I wonder if that's just maybe derailed him a little bit.
Yeah, but it's the same for everybody. And don't forget they are MotoGP riders and they have to deal with the situation. I mean, however it comes, depending on the circumstances. So they have to deal with that, and that's why they are very well paid and they are professional athletes at the very top level.
Definitely a lot better paid than we are to sit and write about them. You know, there are worse things to do. I wanted to go back to Mark, because you mentioned there about his second mistake being that he tried to come back too early. And there's been a lot of debate on this about social media amongst a lot of the journalists as well about, you know, should he have come back? Should Honda have let him? Were the doctors acting correctly? I think the first thing we should point out was that the doctors wouldn't have passed him if they didn't think he was fit enough. Honda weren't really keen on him coming back, so they made this compromise with him. Fine, come back if you're fit, but ride on Saturday. And if you're not feeling up to it, quit. And to his credit, that's what he did. But it's not simple to go, well, he shouldn't have come back, because we don't know Mark's body. Only Mark knows Mark's body. You know, it's a difficult thing.
To be honest, I think Mark did what he needed to do. The problem, probably, is the, I don't know how to say it, the system, how the system works. Because probably after this kind of surgery, you need more evidence than the rider will be able to deal with a full race weekend, and that by doing that won't be affected the injury. You know what I mean? So I'm not trying to say the doctors did the wrong thing or no, but I'm just saying that maybe the protocols need to be adjusted, especially for this kind of cases, because and again, I just want to make that clear. My feeling is that we are missing information, because I still don't have the confirmation. I've asked about how exactly the plate moved or broke, because we only say that there was a problem with the plate, but I've asked how did it happen, and I didn't have any answer. So we don't have this information. That's where there's something missing there. I don't know if he was just training on the weight or I just saw what he posted on Instagram, and then immediately you go back to the Jerez, to this attempt. But I have the feeling that we're missing something.
We all saw the press release from Honda, from Dr. Xavier Mir, where he said, what we didn't expect was the plate would be, I can't remember what he said, I think ineffective or defect or something. So obviously what they thought was, it's whatever they put in there wasn't strong enough for what Mark needed. And let's not forget that right arm at Jerez, right arm that's doing all your braking, doing the throttle, and you've got those fast series of corners right at the end of the lap, which would have really, really put the pressure on Mark. And we know how difficult that weekend was, because if we take Cal Crutchlow's comments, he had to pull in because he was completely numb in his other arm because he was having to compensate because of his broken wrist. So, it was a difficult circuit, I think, for Mark to come back to as well.
I think that, I just want to say that it's not, I'm not trying to go against anybody, but trying to show that this is a good example about how maybe these kind of protocols need to be adjusted, you know, to say, listen, if you have this kind of surgery, you have to do this. Of course, the rider want to come back, especially if he feels good, as Mark said that he was feeling straight after the surgery. But then it's not his decision. It's not Honda's decision, because I think Honda did a good job by saying, listen, we need to be honest. And then if you are not feeling good, you will stop. But it's not on them. I mean, that's why we're supposed to have a proper medical, you know, staff.
Now, obviously, I think they are taking the sensible decision. There's not been any confirmation, but it looks like he will be out for the two Austria races, which, you know, if there's no championship to fight for, there isn't any point in him coming back.
I still don't have... I think if he feels good, he will come back. Because there's no point. There's no point. Yeah. At the same time, there is no point of not of coming back if he doesn't feel good.
Yeah.
If he feels good, why wait? You know.
Yeah. Well, that's a fair point. And I suppose if we all know how Mark is, he probably after surgery was probably ready to come and race at Brno anyway.
I would say that there's no point on dismissing or saying that he won't be. I mean, it's too early. I mean, if in 15 days he's ready, are you sure that he's not going to come back in the race two for Austria? I'm not sure.
I think what this situation does is it takes the pressure off Mark. Now that he knows he doesn't need to come back to fight for a title, he can come back whenever he wants, and, you know, that's it. And I think that'll be good for him more than anything. On that note, I think we'll park it there, Yuri. Thank you very much for your company, and thank you to the listeners for tuning in as well. Of course, tune in to Autosport, motorsport.com across this weekend for all the Czech Grand Prix action. We're going to be busy. Very, very busy weekend coming up with Formula 1 as well. And all sorts. So yeah, if you're a motorsport fan, it's going to be a good weekend for you. If you like what you heard, you can go and listen to all the podcasts on Google and Apple Podcasts and Spotify and wherever else you get podcasts these days. And until next week, when we'll be back to discuss the Czech Grand Prix, it's a very warm goodbye.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.